human beings are pattern recognition animals, or machines, even really. We like to see a pattern because it makes us, for all sorts of reasons, but, you know, there's security in thinking that you understand a situation. So you're looking at something, trying to derive a pattern from it. And that helps you 95% of the time. But sometimes it's encouraging you to read into it something that's not really there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 32 of the Attacking the Championship podcast. My name is Tom Butterfield. I'm your host. And as always, in one breath, I'm going to welcome our resident guest, our certified data analyst. He's our scout and FA licensed coach and intermediary, the fantastic David Bromley. How are you, mate?
Well, I don't know if I can live up to fantastic, Tom.
No pressure.
Well, that's very kind of you. Hey. Bit misguided, but kind of all the same.
Opinions are opinions, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, you doing all right?
Good, man. Yeah, doing okay. It's a bit chilly up here north of the wall. It's turned a bit wintry since spring started, which is just about typical for this part of the world, to be honest with you.
I thought it was always winter. There's a stereotype for you.
Always grey. Yeah. No, it's usually lovely up here, but it has been particularly bad over the last couple of weeks. But hey ho. But we've had some international football. Have you watched any of it?
Do you know what? Not really.
I didn't watch 1 minute. No. To be honest with you, it just doesn't. I think this time of year, the international friendlies. I think it's different if you're a fan of say Wales, for example, who are in the playoffs. I think it's different because there's something on the games, isn't there? But yeah. But I just feel this time of year, the players, they're getting to a really key part of their club season. They're also getting towards closer to the Euros or a World Cup, whatever it is in that year. And I just wonder whether you can really put everything into it without fear of, you know, this. I'm getting up to some really interesting points of the season. You know, there's cup finals coming up. There's big tournaments. Am I going to give everything for the game? And I know a lot of people say, oh, well, you should give 100% all the time. But it doesn't take much, does it? At that level, if you're a hair's breadth off of your best, it can make a huge difference, can't it? And maybe some of the results and some of the performances sort of point towards that.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, this is the time of year, isn't it, really, coming up to Easter, when an awful lot of issues are resolved. I mean, I suppose, you know, particularly in the division we're going to talk about, but it's a really vital time of year, and these games, let's face it, apart from, as you say, one or two of them, they're not really, there's not much on them at all, is there?
Not really.
And, you know, I know it was Brazil and England and everything, but yeah, I don't know. I can see why it's done the way it's done. And I think there's some benefit in, you know, the changes that have been made with, you know, but I just think it's a distraction more than anything else for the rest of us, isn't it?
I think so.
Focused on what we consider to be the more important domestic things.
Do you think the choice of opponents there in Brazil and Belgium, do you think that was mainly or partly because there would be at this time of year general fatigue with international football saying, well, it doesn't matter right now. So if they were to bring out a team who is maybe a lower top tier or a second tier nation, as we might think, as a friendly, that people just wouldn't have shown up. But Brazil is always going to bring a crowd, isn't it? So maybe that's the best time of year to schedule them.
Well, I think there, as you allude to, there I'm sure there would have been a push from the FA because, you know, we've got to repay, what was it, £1 billion on Wembley.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, there's, I'm sure that played into it. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
But yeah, but we're getting back to our club football now, which is a bit more fun. We've
had important stuff.
Yeah, we've had the schedules for the playoffs decided, haven't we? Final day is going to be the 4th of May, isn't it? All kickoffs at 12:30.
Yeah.
And then we've got the playoffs will start 6th versus 3rd. So I assume that's 6th. Place at home first will be on the 12th of May, and then the reverse fixture on the 16th of May. And then we've got 5th versus 4th, 13th of May, and then the reverse on the 17th of May with a final on the 26th of May, which all sounds fine, unless, of course, Coventry get into the playoffs and Coventry get into the FA Cup final and get into the final of the playoffs, because the FA Cup final is the day before the playoff final scheduled to be. So,
yeah,
obviously they would have to reschedule it.
Well, you know what? It could happen, couldn't it?
Yeah.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility. It's going to be a real tough effort. But
it'd be a very championship move, wouldn't it, for Coventry to do that?
Yeah,
be a very sort
it would.
Of
it would, absolutely. I wouldn't. I couldn't rule it out. No. Oh, I don't know what. Yeah. Well, I suppose, you know, there is fixture congestion. There are so many games now that you're going to get potentially this kind of thing happening. I suppose the powers that be are desperately hoping it, you know, it's all academic because Man United do a job on them. And
I'm sure there's lots
I suppose that's the likely thing, but
I wouldn't be sorry to see Coventry get past them.
I wouldn't think. Well, you know, they'll be flying the flag for the championship.
Absolutely.
It's always a good thing. As long as they don't go and do what happened the last time. Was it Wigan and Man City?
That's
Wigan
right,
ended up going down, didn't they? So,
that's right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I also noticed this morning that Ipswich have had some investment as well. They've had some US equity firm come in and purchase a 40% stake. So that's an interesting move.
Well, you know, it's par for the course now, isn't it, really? Mm. The US money is, I mean, they all think our game's undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
The big prize, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of interest in the Premier League clubs still. A number of them would still be, would be available. But you can't help thinking that the big prize is that cliff edge, taking a club from the champ, where you're not paying ridiculous money for the club, probably.
Absolutely.
And suddenly you can launch them. And if you can maintain the Premier League status, that's big money, isn't it? So I guess that's what's on a lot of people's minds. You know, now we've got a West Brom owner from the States, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a number of clubs. To be honest, I don't think there are many clubs in the Football League that aren't available if somebody wants to come and take them, other than the ones that have just been sold.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, I think it was 105 million it could go up to for a 40% stake in Ipswich. And they're in, you know, still in with a good chance of getting into the Premier League, aren't they? So straight away, you're sort of getting that money back into the club again, aren't you? Plus any sort of spin-offs from sponsorships and advertisements and shirt sales and all sorts of different things, aren't you? So like you say, there's a much greater chance of a bigger multiplication factor financially, isn't there, in a football club that goes from the champ to the Premier League?
There is
for one that's going to stay in the Premier League, for example. So if you had a West Ham United, for example, it would cost you a huge amount, I'm sure, to purchase a 40% stake in West Ham. And then I would imagine their value would sort of bob around a bit and not really change too much. But an Ipswich or, you know, a Leeds United or, you know, a West Brom, for example, just been purchased. If they were to go into the Premier League and, like you say, stay there for a few years, then the value of the club would multiply quite a few times, wouldn't it, you'd imagine?
You'd have thought so. I think buying into the Premier League now is probably more to do with this view that we understand the Americans have that, you know, this game hasn't been exploited, although there's a lot more money in the game now than there was. It's still nothing like the money that's in the American sport.
No, absolutely.
So, and they believe, so we understand, that, you know, there are lots of opportunities to change that. So that's why, I guess, that's the difference, isn't it, really, in your motivation.
Do you think we might see, if this level of investment keeps up, do you think we might see a reduction in the gap between, the financial gap between the Premier League and the Championship, or do you think that's always going to be there?
Do you know, it's such a big issue, isn't it? It's such a big, I think it's going to happen, but how much of a reduction in the gap, I don't know. I mean, the thing about it, I suppose what's at the core of it is people think about the Premier League you've got to keep reminding yourself it's the teams, it's the clubs that are in the Premier League that own the league. Not there isn't, it's not a sort of a third party. So any changes that are made, other than those that might be imposed, of course, by regulation, but are going to be, have to be voted for by the clubs. So no one's voting for, you know, any kind of help to the championship because they know that they're potentially going to take their place. You know, you've got a split, haven't you? I know we're not really here to talk about the Premier League, but you've got a split between the best interests of the top six or seven, maybe, and the best interests of the rest, all of whom probably consider themselves to be at some point relegation candidates.
Sure.
Outside of that top sort of echelon. So their objectives and their aspirations and driving views are going to be very different.
Absolutely. It's sort of quite a conflict of interest, isn't there? If you're voting for, you're voting for the Premier League, you're not voting for football as a whole, are you?
No.
You are voting to keep yourself, you know, in the boat.
Well, you are, like. Really. Yeah, and that's why maybe, you know, well, the argument about, again, about American sports is where you don't have relegation, you have a lot more security, and that brings certain advantages. But it doesn't, it does away with the jeopardy and the peril that we all love.
But you've been busy again, David. I know you have. And we mentioned a bit last time, didn't we? We talked about the playoff teams. And very briefly, we talked about, quite often people say, oh, well, it's good to be the team that just sneaks in because they've got momentum. And that sort of pulled on a bit of a thread for you, didn't it?
Well, it did, yeah, as usual. You drop something in as a sort of, you know, oh, I wonder if we could do this. and it's an interesting thought. And I think you said, last week we talked about the playoffs and we said, I wonder if you can deduce anything from looking at the teams that end up in the playoffs and how they performed against, if you like, their rivals. So We picked a number of teams, the top eight, other than the top, other than the automatic promoted. And we looked at, didn't we? We looked at the four teams that made the playoffs and said, how did they perform against the other seven teams around them, home and away? And then we tried to see if there was any sort of type of indicator amongst the results of that as to who might go through the playoffs. And there did seem to be some kind of significant relationship there. And you said, yeah, I wonder if we there then took that and the, and sort of added in another factor, which was related to something that has become probably a bit of a cliche, you know, another football cliche where, and I'm certainly guilty of this, saying this. Oh, well, the team that is most likely to succeed in the playoffs is the team that goes into the playoffs on a high. So the team that has recently been showing momentum, you know, their recent results have been encouraging because it gives them, I mean, it's logical when you think about it. You think, well, one, they've shown that they've got a way of playing and maybe a settled squad who understand how to play together, and that's reflected in the last, in the results of the last X number of games. And two, psychologically, it's good for confidence. If you can win games, obviously you're going in there feeling that you can do well. And so it makes sense to think that that's probably true. And we just wondered, didn't we? We thought, well, yeah. I wonder how true that is. The other thing we've been talking about is the relegation fight, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
And the same could apply there, couldn't it? You could look at that and say, there are teams involved in this relegation fight. And I wonder if you went back, if you could derive any kind of helpful conclusion from looking at their recent form. So that's basically what I've been working on, looking back and calling this a momentum indicator.
Like it.
So, yeah, so we could sort of have a whiz through.
Yes,
What I don't want to do is I don't want to kind of get it to a point where, because this was chart upon chart upon chart. This was a real kind of, you know, if you like a chart, you'll love it. If you, if you're not so keen, then it will drive you nuts. So,
complete chart fest.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm going to try and do is to sort of try and make it a little bit more alive than just going, look at this chart and look at that chart. You know, so I try my best. I try to think to myself, if I was cooking dinner or out for a walk or something, you know, is what I'm saying going to really register?
Gotcha.
And we've laughed about this. So, and I think it's a fair comment. So we're going to try. I thought we could look at the relegation battle first, and I hope I don't just kind of completely contradict myself. Because we could, you know, if you want to share the screen, because...
Yeah, go for it.
What I would say to you is listening to this is... we're saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it is useful when we're talking, if you can. If you can follow along by looking at the charts, I think it is a useful thing to do. Because, you know, some things do come to life more, don't they? Mm-hmm. When you're looking at something as opposed to just listening. So we're going to try and be all things to all people here. So I thought we'd look at this relegation battle, Tom. What I did to start with is I went back 10 seasons. So I went back to 2014-15. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did was I looked at the three teams that went down in that year. And the three teams that went down 10 years ago were Blackpool, Wigan and Millwall. So we've played 38 games at the moment. Most of the teams have got 8 games to go. So I went back to that corresponding period 10 years ago and looked at where the teams were. And so we're looking at three things: the league position of the team, the average points per game, and what we're calling a momentum indicator. And so what we've got is basically three lines on this chart moving through the season from beginning to end. And what I thought might be a way of addressing this would be to say, well, if we plot a team's average points per game as the season goes on, and then we look at this momentum indicator and we look back over 5 games, when that 5 game indicator line crosses up above the average points per game line, that could be an indication that things are going well in the short term, you know. And conversely, if it crossed down below, it would be an indicator that in the last few games, we're performing even worse than we have been on average for the season. So it seemed to me that, you know, that could be a reasonable thing to look at. And, of course, we've got the league position plotted as well. There's a little tiny caveat I want to mention here right at the beginning, which is the league position is an artificial league position in a way, because I couldn't actually go back very easily and get every single league position after every single game for the last 10 years of every single team. So what I did is it's a proxy for it. It's really taking the number of points per game each team has and saying, well, where would they be in the league table with that number of points per game for that season? Mm-hmm. So it might be a place out. And you might have a situation where you go, look, two teams are bottom of the league. That just means both of those teams were at that time performing below the average points per game for the team that came bottom. So it's not anything to worry about, but just in case an eagle-eyed viewer says, hang on, you've got two teams bottom, they're just you can derive from that, they're both pretty poor. Okay, so what we've got for each of these 10 years is the three teams that finished 24th, 23rd, 22nd. What we tried to do is say, well, after 38 games, were there any indicators at that time that any of those teams might have been able to get out of trouble? Because we know they all went down. So we know that they, you know, they didn't get out of trouble. The first one you look at, Blackpool, it's a very solid. Well, they've been bottom of the league more or less for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Their points per game was rising toward over the first half of the season, and then it sort of plateaued, and then it was started to fall. And it's also and in any case, it's less than probably it's about 0.6 per game or something. So they were poor from the start, and even on top of that, the last 5 games, they're crashing down below their
Yeah.
Overall season. So the last five games have been worse than even the previous 33 games.
Yeah.
So you'd look at that and say, well, I think they're in real trouble. I can't see anything
for sure.
good coming out of that.
No.
All right. So then, and I'm going to whiz through these. So then we got Wigan, who were in 23rd place. That's a different story, isn't it? Because Wigan are, they're in the bottom three. Their points per game was slightly higher than Blackpool. There's nothing to shout about. It's below 1 point per game. But their five-game momentum was upwards, wasn't it? It come upwards through that average. So it started to suggest, well, it's a short term. It's five games. And remember, five games can be influenced by the quality of the teams that you're playing in that five games. It can be influenced by whether three of them were away and two of them were at home, or the other way around, or maybe even four and one sometimes. So it can get buffeted around. So it's short term, but, you know, it's an indicator of how you've been performing. So you might look at Wigan and think, there might be some mileage in that one. If what people say has got merit, then that might be a case in point, mightn't it?
Yeah.
And then the third one was Millwall. And Millwall was sort of not far away from Blackpool, really. Their points per game were falling. Their recent momentum indicator crashed through that average points per game. Everything was looking pretty grim for Millwall. So out of those three, you'd have said, well, maybe Wigan, but I don't fancy the other two, I think. So in the next page, we could see actually what happened. So we've got exactly the same chart here, but what I've now done is plotted on that chart exactly what came afterwards. Blackpool, they did rally a little bit in the last five games, but they never got above their average points per game for the season. And, you know, their worst fears were realised, weren't they? They went down bottom of the league. So no surprise there particularly. Wigan, unfortunately... The very game after we looked at it, the wheels came off and they crashed back down again. So that's why they went down. So we're not that surprised to see that, because we know they went down. But, you know, the indicator was maybe beforehand, things could be on the up, but it wasn't. So that, for whatever reason, you could go back, look at the games, look at the teams they played and wonder if, you know, that was the reason or whatever, but Wigan didn't manage it. And Millwall actually was opposite. Millwall did get their act together towards the end, but it wasn't enough. They rose, I think, a couple of places, but it wasn't enough. But it did look like they'd started to turn on some form, didn't it, in the last few games. I've put a couple of little things in. Where relevant, some of the seasons come up with some interesting talking points. So, and some of them don't. So what I've done is, for this season, I've put what I've called an escapologist in there. Nice.
The Houdini Award.
The Houdini Award for 2014-15. And it was Fulham. Now, I might have to just drop this. Can you still see that all right?
Yeah, I can see that fine.
So the Houdini Award, as you call it, or the escapologist of the year, was Fulham, because after 38 games, they were 21st, and things didn't look particularly great for them, did it? I mean, average points per game were falling. Obviously, the league position was crashing, and you didn't see in their five-game momentum indicator much to really grab onto. But what happened was that they did turn things round, and they dragged themselves up from 21st to 17th, four places. So they were only one. They were one place above relegation after 38 games. This time, 10 years ago in the season, and they managed to drag themselves up to 17th place. So that's that season. Some of the seasons. So we'll just whiz through quickly. So 25th, the next season, 2015-16. If you're a Bolton fan, you'll probably remember this. That was pretty grim for you. Everything was going down. Every indicator that we're looking at was looking pretty poor, wasn't it? You wouldn't have had any money on Bolton.
No.
MK Dons was slightly more sort of, well, there wasn't anything to say that they're going to get out of trouble, but they weren't as dire. They were just sort of drifting along in at about a point per game, and the recency indicators didn't suggest anything better than that. And Charlton, but Charlton were the team probably that of the three, you might have said, well, they might be able to do something. Their momentum indicators pointing upwards, you know, if they can keep this going. What actually happened was Bolton, well, they did get a few points towards the end, but nothing like enough, and they went down. MK Dons took a turn for the worse. Yeah. You know, suddenly the last sort of, well, the last eight games didn't bring about enough points, and there was a period where things were really quite poor. I think they only got sort of 1 point from five games at one point. And then for Charlton, although they look quite good,
yeah,
they just turned around almost immediately and crashed straight back down again. So there you go. That nothing much there. Uh-huh. 2016-17, it was Rotherham, Wigan and Blackburn. I suppose Blackburn of the three were the ones that you might have had a little sort of punt on if you're that way inclined. The other two were looking pretty poor. Rotherham did turn it on a bit at the end, but not enough, which seems to be the message a lot of the time. You know, if you wait till five games to go, you're really going to have to do something pretty special to get out of trouble. Wigan, nothing much. Blackburn, again, they fell almost immediately after we were looking at them before, but then they rallied again. And I think it might have been just about enough. And I think they ended up 21st, Tom, okay, from 22nd. So they managed to survive, I think, that year, just about, with that late rally. Mm. But it wasn't one that you'd have predicted particularly. Well, you of the three, you might have done, but it wasn't a standout.
No.
The escapologist is Bristol City. When we looked to them after 38 games, they were 23rd. But look at this momentum indicator. It's on the up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're one that you might have looked at and thought, well, yeah, actually, there could be something in this. And indeed, there was, because they kept it going. And they rose six places from 30th, wow, from 23rd to 17th. So if you're a Sheffield Wednesday or a Huddersfield fan, you might want to have a little look back at 2016-17 and Bristol City's situation, because that's going to give you a little bit of heart. I don't think it's not going to be enough for a Rotherham fan, unfortunately.
No.
Because you could win your last eight games and you're still not going to survive. But the other two, you know, this is the kind of thing they could do with. So Bristol City were the team in that year. 2017-18, we got Sunderland, looked pretty grim for them. Burton, not too special for them. And Barnsley, you wouldn't have picked out any of those really, would you?
Not really.
And said that you thought they were going to, I mean, we know they didn't survive. Did any of them really change much? Not Sunderland. Burton had a little go at the end, but it was too late for them. They rose a place or two. And Barnsley, no, just kind of drifted along really as they were. The escapologist of 2017-18 was Birmingham. So Birmingham, after 38 games, were 24th, were bottom of the league, or at least their points per game would have put them bottom of the league, mm-hmm, as far as what the league over ended up needing. So they were right in the mire. And actually, they didn't look, I wouldn't have looked at their performance and thought they had much of a chance, would you?
No, not at
all. But suddenly, from somewhere, they found some results and ended up 19th. So they survived. Five places they rose in the last eight games. So it can be done, but it's not always going to be done by the teams that you think it's going to be done by. It's going to be done where they suddenly find some form from somewhere. So far, I think, is the message that we're seeing. 2018-19, Ipswich, Bolton and Rotherham. Rotherham, we're looking again. If you're clinging to this idea of recent form being an indicator, you might pick Rotherham out and say, well, they seem to have been able to turn things round a little bit. What actually happened was Ipswich just went sideways and drifted into oblivion. Bolton went down even further in their results, as did Rotherham.
Yeah.
So it was a false dawn for Rotherham, wasn't it? We seem to be getting this message, don't we? Where you think something could be on the cards, you put your money down, and all of a sudden, as if by magic, it turns around.
Yeah, disappears. No,
nobody managed to win the Escapology title for that year. So that went according to plan. 2019-20, Hull looks very grim, doesn't it? Everything pointing downwards.
Off a cliff there, aren't they?
Wigan is looking quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're looking like they've put a decent run together, really, from match 20. It's dragging them up a bit. I mean, I've got them in here at 18th. The reason being because of their average points per game, which is a technicality. But they went down. And Charlton, wouldn't say much about them, would you? So again, there's nothing much there. See, that's what happened to Wigan. That's why they went down, because they were when we looked at them after 38 games, they were indeed 18th.
Yeah, probably one of the form teams in the league at that point, weren't they?
At that point, they were. And things were going well for them, and then it just crashed. You could almost be arguing the opposite, couldn't you? You could say, be careful. When things are going well for you, you're in trouble. If you took that one, we could have a conversation about this. You've talked about this before in the Daniel Kahneman book, Thinking Fast and Slow, where they talk about cognitive biases, which are basically human beings' shortcuts that we take because we haven't got time to analyze every situation that arises in our lives and make decisions based on a thorough analysis. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we look at something that we think we've experienced or we think we are seeing, and we make a decision based on a tiny snapshot of the information that perhaps we could gather.
Yeah.
And it serves us pretty well in our lives. You know, it means that we can leave the house because we don't have to evaluate. We don't have to draw up a risk profile for, you know, what might happen if I go shopping this morning. So it's not something to be kind of ignored, but in lots of situations, it leads us into making suboptimal decisions. And so what we're seeing is, because we've seen something happen a few times, it becomes a thing that people in football talk about. But when you start looking into it, at least in these situations, it doesn't seem to be being borne out, does it?
No, it seems a lot more teams, if you're at or near the bottom at this point going into the last eight games, more often than not, you actually end up getting relegated.
Yeah, exactly. So 28-19-20, the Escapologist of the year, by way of contrast, was Luton, who were, again, their points per game would have placed them bottom after 38 games, but they managed to put some results together. They went up five places to 19th, so they got out of trouble. It was a bit of a rocky sort of run, and obviously this might have been partly due to the fact that some of the other teams had catastrophic ends of the season. Ah, okay. So 2019-20, I've introduced another award, and it's an award for a choker.
Ah.
Because this is the first time that you've seen, and it's Wigan, because Wigan, as we looked at, were really fairly safe, 18th after. So remember, we're looking at the season at the same time as we are looking at the season now, after 38 games. We're looking at a situation where Wigan are 18th, things are on the up, their points per game have been going up since the turn of the year, their recent form, their momentum has been going up at the same time, as has their league position. So they're now out of trouble where they were previously in trouble for a long time. And you might well have thought, well, okay, that's behind us. But unfortunately for them, what happened was they went down five places and they ended up relegated. I've said they finished 19th. They didn't. They finished 23rd, I believe. So they went down. So I made an error. So I'm not all that fantastic, am I? anyway, so that's the choker of the year. 2020, 21, Sheffield Wednesday, Rotherham, and Wickham are the three candidates, or the three that went down. I don't think any of them look particularly like you'd want to place a bet on them.
No.
And you would have been happy not to have done, because they all ended up going down. You know, that it just sort of drifted, didn't it? Their seasons just sort of drifted along.
Yeah, stuck to tight.
Wickham rallied a little bit towards the end, and actually they did drag themselves up to 22nd, but not too little too late.
Mm-hmm.
The escapologist was Birmingham, who after 38 games were 22nd, and actually weren't showing any real signs of getting out of trouble, I wouldn't have said, by the look of it. But they found some form and dragged themselves up four places and finished 18th, so they were out of trouble. So that, at least that, this gives a bit of hope, doesn't it, to the teams that are in the mire at the moment.
Yeah, it shows it's can possible, be done, isn't it?
It can be done. 2021-22, I mean, if you look at Barnsley, I think we might be going to, well, they've got a very good recent record, but I think they were in such trouble that it hasn't been able to. That,
they've got an average points per game after 31 games of less than half a point per game, which I think is the lowest that we've seen so far. So,
it's a very low base.
A long way behind. Yeah.
They were. So, you know, things were going in the right direction, I suppose, but it didn't work out for them. But we'll see why. Derby just looks grim. Peterborough, again, just looks sort of uninspiring.
Going the wrong way, isn't it?
Barnsley, that's why they didn't. Almost immediately, as if by magic, the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah.
So, it was a false dawn for them. Derby and Peterborough Peterborough did rally at the end, look. So, again, they might consider themselves slightly unlucky. They ran out of time. That's what perhaps happens, is that they find a little bit of form towards the end, but you've got to find the form early enough to give yourself a chance, depending on how tight it is, as you say. In that season, the choker of the year was Derby. After 38 games, they were 19th, but they ended up 23rd and went down four places. So they were the choker. Last season, bottom three, the teams that went down, Wigan, we've seen all that before, really, just couldn't get their act together. Blackpool, the same. Reading, when we looked at them after 38 games, were 16th.
Yeah. Reading have probably got a mitigating factor in there, haven't they?
Well, I wondered about this points deduction. So you could be right. I was trying to figure out when that was actually applied in the figures that I was looking at.
I think it was applied towards the end of the season, or at the end of the season, or maybe a few games to go. I don't think it had been put into place as yet.
So what happened was Wigan didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
Blackpool didn't do enough. They both had better ends than they'd had previously, but they weren't enough. But Reading, actually, their results were just poor at the end. They fell apart. So it wasn't solely as a result of a points deduction. If you look at the games, they just didn't get the points.
Yeah. Had their worst sort of run of form, didn't they, at the end of the season, just when they needed it most.
So the escapologist was Huddersfield, who,
good old after, Mr. 30, Warnock.
After 38 games, were bottom and ended up, you know, that run that got them up from 24th to 18th, six places. Pretty good achievement over eight games, that.
Certainly is. That's a hell of a bounce, isn't it?
Right, so This is actually, again, there's another mistake there. This is 23-24. I only added this in this morning because I thought, I haven't added in this season.
We're recording this pretty early in the morning, so you would have been up early doing that.
Well, yeah, and I looked at it and thought, because we haven't got a full season, I hadn't put this in, but I just thought, well, we ought to, at least, just for the sake of sort of, you know, good order. So we can look at Rotherham.
Might change your intro for next week, by the way, David.
Oh, yeah. Well, Deservedly so, I think.
The above average David Bromley.
Yeah, maybe I've got my own little sort of momentum indicator.
There you go, yeah.
So Rotherham, yeah, Rotherham is what it is, you know, they're bottom of the league, their recent form's fallen off a cliff, their points per game was never very good, but it's fallen really,
it's on the slide,
mostly, or most of the season. Sheffield Wednesday, you know, again, I don't want to put the mockers on them, but if there was a team out of the three that you would really say, well, actually, you know what, I wonder, because look back to sort of, you know, they were in pretty
dire
state after a dozen games.
Yeah.
But really, since then, it's been pretty, the points per game has been, it's not been completely linear, of course, but there's been a clear trend upwards.
Absolutely.
They've had their little periods where they've done brilliantly over the last sort of five games. So that would have been 2 points per game. That would have been 10 points. After 21 games, sort of towards the end of the year, they'd gone five games and got 10 points from them. So they'd done pretty well. Then it fell back a bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
But ever since probably five games ago, they've dragged it up. They had a period where they'd taken 12 and a half points from five games, which is pretty good going. And that's, you know, that's dropped a bit. But I'd look at that, and again, I don't want to be the sort of, you know, the one to turn it round, but you could look at that and think, yeah, I could see that they could, if they got to keep this form going, haven't they?
Yeah, for sure.
Huddersfield, they were, I think, lower down, weren't they, in the league, but they've
very consistent have been all right, as far but as it's, point per game. It's kind of, they've been on average around about that 1 point per game mark all season, haven't they?
Yeah. They need to get on and do something and do it fairly quick, don't they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'll just put, for the sake of something to sort of talk about, what a potential choker in there. If you look at Birmingham.
Yeah.
Birmingham are, you know, twice as winner, it stands.
Twice winners of our Escapology Award.
They are.
Possibly going to take the choker award.
Well, they're 21st. They're 1 point above. Mm-hmm. But look at the recent form.
Yeah.
Look at their points per game. It's on the slide. Everything's on the slide. And maybe, again, if anybody still thinks there's something in this idea of the momentum, well, that hasn't been good because they're now 2.5 points over the last five games. So that's not where you want to be, or 2 points over the last five games. So, yeah, they've got to get, and they've got to do something.
It's not going to get it done, is it?
No, they've got to do something. So that's it, possibly interested. Interesting that, you know, they're 21st, but where are they going to finish? We don't know. So, I mean, I was just going to say about that, Tom, well, you've sort of already mentioned it, really, this idea of the biases. We seek patterns and we seek to try and derive conclusions with insufficient information. And we need to do that because that's how life is. You know, if you don't do it, then you can't really make progress. But I've got a feeling looking at all that, I don't know what you feel, but it doesn't look to me like it's very convincing, this argument that, you know, well, you're going to be okay if recently your results have been decent.
Yeah, there's a few. You've got the one that sticks out there was Huddersfield from last year.
Yeah.
But apart from that, there's none that really you sort of look at and go, oh, yeah, this happened every season, where a team, you know, clearly just completely bucked the trend and just got going. And we could see it coming because moving into this period of the season, that you could see that the trend was changing. It looks like if the trend is changing, it almost completely whipsaws back to the average where they were.
Seems to, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of false dawns in there. I started with the teams that went down because I wanted to see if you looked at the teams that we know went down, how many times were there indicators that they might be okay? And the answer is a lot.
Yeah.
You know, every season there was somebody that you'd have said, if that held water, you'd have picked at least one of those three teams probably and said, I think they could get out of trouble.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's also difficult to know how many games to go back over, because you could say, well, it's only five games. Maybe you should have gone back over 10, but there are other difficulties that come into play if you go back over 10 games.
Yeah, it just moves it, and you get different potential variables, don't you, with each one. So none of them are perfect.
But I'm going to come on to that, because I've done something slightly different.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to just carry on with this theme of testing this idea. We looked at the relegation, and I think our sort of conclusion is, well, it can be done, but, you know, you can get out of trouble for sure. If you're a fan of any of those teams down the bottom,
yeah.
QPR have been doing well, you know, Huddersfield and Sheffield United, not so much Birmingham, because they seem to be going in the other direction at the mm-hmm. moment, but you can drag yourself out,
yeah.
But don't think to yourself, yeah, this always happens, because there's a lot of times it's suggested that it might and it doesn't.
Yeah.
But with the playoffs, going back to what we talked about earlier at the beginning of today and last week, I wanted to look at a similar kind of thing, really, to see what happened to the teams that went through the playoffs, what happened to them as regards their recent form. So I went back 10 years again, and again, we could just whiz through this, because it's going to be slightly difficult if you're looking at this on the screen. To get them all on the screen would be too small. You wouldn't be able to see anything. Fine. But I've got three on each page as we go through. I've got nine there. And again, I've gone back over 10 years and just looked at things like, what I looked at this time as well was I looked at the number of wins that the teams had, because, you know, you could argue points per game is good, and I think it is a good measure. But what have you got to do when you get into the playoffs? You've got to win the games, really. You could draw all of them and go through on pens, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
But
you could also do the opposite, couldn't you, as well?
You could.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are just the teams that went through. So 2014-15, 10 years ago, Norwich were the team that went through. After 38 games, obviously we're going to see most of these teams' charts are going to look different to the others, because they're going to mostly be pointing mm-hmm. upwards rather than downwards. But they were fifth, and they ended up third. So they went up two places.
Mm-hmm.
The last 10 games, the points per game change over the last 10 games, and actually I use this time, was that the last 10 games, they were getting fewer points per game than they were previously over the previous 10 games, mm-hmm. if you see what I mean. So we're taking this indicator and we're saying, you know, did they turn it on at the end, or or what happened? And actually, that's sort of quite interesting in itself. So you look at Norwich, that's where Norwich ended up. So we know they ended up in third place and they won the playoffs. And the last five games, they won three of them. They won six of the last 10, 10 of the last 15, and 13 of the last 20. And I was kind of interested to look at, you know, how that played out. So if you look at the first 3 years that we were looking at, 14-15, to 16-17, each of the three winners of the playoffs, their points per game had fallen towards the end. So again, that's I wouldn't say that's an indicator that, you know, well, it's the team that's really turning it on that's going to get through.
No, exactly.
So that's another one that, you know, you think, well, so in 2016-17, Huddersfield, they were fifth. They ended up fifth, but they were third after mm-hmm. 38 games. So they were slightly on the slide. Previous one, Hull City, so I'm going backwards, but 2015-16, they hadn't changed their position. They were fourth and they stayed fourth. But all three of them, their recent form, and we're looking back 10 games now, mm-hmm. it was sort of on the slide a bit. It started to look like, as I was looking through this, I thought, I've seen this before, you know. It's not what you might have been led to believe. So 2017-18, again, winners were Fulham. Fulham were fourth when we looked at it after 38 games, but they dropped third, which was okay. It got them in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But their last 10 game points per game changed to minus 0.3. The difference was minus 0.3 points per game. So again, they were... Their recent form didn't support the argument that it's the teams that are coming into form that are going to go through. So the first 4 years, in fact, I noticed that, you know, well, that's, again, suggesting it's a bit of a myth. Then we go to 2018-19 and Aston Villa. And Aston Villa is the first time where a team has kind of started to turn their form on at the end of the season. They were ninth after 38 games. They ended up fifth. So they went up four places, and they certainly did their form. So they looks like they started to find their form about 34 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the last dozen, they were, I mean, they must have done really well.
They must have won five on the spin there, mustn't they?
Yeah. 8 out of 10, the last 10 games, they won 8 of them.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty decent, isn't it?
So that's definitely what you would maybe be expecting to find when you started out the journey, when you were expecting that, you know, perhaps there was something in this argument.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they, again, they seem to be a bit of an outlier, because Fulham, who came in the year after 1920, they'd let it slide a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they dropped. Their points per game had dropped. Even having said that, their position went up one place,
mm-hmm.
which must have just been an indicator that the teams around them were even worse than them. Then we got 2021 Brentford. Brentford was the second time when, like Villa, they turned on a bit of a run towards the end. So Villa went in the playoffs on a high. Brentford went in the playoffs not so much of a high, but better form than they had.
Relative
been.
Form. I mean, it wasn't great form, was it? I mean, you look.
No, three wins in the last 10. It wasn't great. Yeah. Wasn't great, was it?
So even though it was better, it was maybe a sign of they'd been pretty poor before that. So it's a relatively not great improvement, but still.
No, exactly. So again, if anything, it might be that, you know, we're still seeing what we've been seeing, which is the team that goes through. Isn't necessarily the team that's... So then Forest come along in 21-22, and they definitely improved over the last 10 games. They won five of them. I mean, it's not remarkable in terms of wins, but they did go into the last 10 games having improved their 10-game points per game numbers by a point, a whole point. So, yeah, not like Villa, but pretty good. So you would say, yeah, okay, that's a bit of an indicator that there could have been something going on there. Luton, last year, we're back to, you know, the form at the end wasn't special, was it?
Uh-huh. No, absolutely.
You know, they'd again, 5 wins in the last 10, it's all right. 2 wins in the last 5. You'd have expected, if this had been really a thing, you'd have expected that Villa experience would have been more like the norm, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And what we're really seeing is it isn't. It was more of an exception.
Yeah. No, we're seeing teams more often than not being around about what they were for the whole season, or if not, just a little bit down from it, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. And I just thought, for the sake of it, I'd put this year on there, sorry. These are the playoff contenders, Tom. I've got 6 of them here.
Yeah.
Ipswich, Southampton and West Brom. You know, we obviously haven't got the full season, but we've got where they are at the moment. So if you look at Ipswich, what's their 10-game indicator is, you know, not bad. It's on the up.
Mm-hmm.
The points per game has been sort of sliding, hasn't it? But they've started to pull it back round again. So remains to be seen, and we might learn a bit over this next few days about them. Southampton, you know, it doesn't look terribly good, really.
No.
So they'll probably go through the playoffs.
That's right. Yeah, almost guaranteed to go.
West Brom's is looking more healthy.
Yeah, moving in the right direction.
Moving in the right direction.
Or not, depending on what you find.
Norwich is probably the one that stands out as being the stealthiest sort of impressive trend. You know, they seem to have, from, I guess, the turn of the year, you'd say everything's pointing upwards. Position, average points per game, and the sort of recent form. Hull City, well, it's gone a bit sideways. It's going up most recently, but not as special as Norwich. No. Coventry, they had a period, didn't they, where everything was going really well for them, and then it just seemed to flatten out.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 games ago, something like that. So I'm not quite sure, really, where they would form.
No, whether that's... And again, it's, has the cup run got anything to do with it, or is that just another...
Well, that's a good point.
You know, sort of myth that we think might be part of it.
Yeah. Just for you, I added one on the end.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, mate.
And there's Preston. Because I was in danger of saying, because I can only fit six on the page. But realistically, Preston are still in with a shout. Sure. And if you look at their recent form, you know, there could be an argument there.
Yeah.
I think we were seeing, when we started talking about them earlier in the season, saying, well, the underlying numbers don't support their position in the league. That was what was happening. They were sliding down and down and down.
Because they were top after seven games, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And it looks like from about game 30, they've pulled it round. It's started to fall a little bit. So your absolute immediate recent form has not been terribly good, but what can you say? So that's really pretty much where we got to with that. So I think our overall feeling would be probably more of a myth than anything else, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think those great escape sort of stories, you know, with Huddersfield and with a few other teams, you know, going or getting into the playoffs, squeaking into the playoffs, they don't seem to necessarily be as often as we would like to think they happen, are they? It seems to be that if you've not been playing very well for the whole season and you've been down at the bottom, then there's a good chance that that's going to continue because that's the team that you are. You're not one of the best teams in the league. In fact, you're one of the worst ones. So from that respect, I mean, obviously Rotherham, they're gonna go. Sheffield Wednesday have been poor most of the season, have changed with the change of manager. Huddersfield have been down there a lot, so yeah, it's real tricky, isn't it?
It is.
It's so close. I mean, you've got Sheffield Wednesday on 38, Huddersfield and Birmingham on 39, sort of splitting the relegation cut-off there. QPR on 40, Stoke and Plymouth on 41, Blackburn 42 points and Millwall 43. So, and they've all played 38 games.
Yeah,
all very similar goal differences, apart from Sheffield minus 31. But everyone else is around sort of minus 19 to minus 8 for Plymouth, which might do them a favour. But it's tight. I mean, two games could be very different. If Millwall lose two, and the other teams pick up points, it's super tight. And Millwall might be one of those teams that we look at and say, well, they've had a good run of late. So we're kind of taking them as a given that they're out, but maybe that's again a human trait that when we're threatened, we'll tend to, you know, the fight or flight will kick in, and then all of a sudden when you think you're safe, everything settles and you go back to type again.
There could be some cause and effect there. But this is another thing that we do, I think, is that we look at things and we try and find reasons and explanations when sometimes it's just noise.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is just natural variation. So this idea of a reversion to the mean, what it's really saying is there's a reason why the mean is the mean. That's the most accurate indicator of all in certain situations. So when results or indicators divert from the mean, the most likely thing to happen is they're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, but the other thing that could be the case is, as you say, it could be an indicator of something underlying, something causal. So, but you have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
That you draw, because that's what we do. That's what we've been talking about. Human beings do that. We try to think of, that's doing that. There must be a reason for it. So maybe it's this and maybe it's that. And of course it could be.
Mm.
But the other thing is, it could just be, Millwall have had a good time, so they're in for a not such good time.
Yeah. I mean, it's much more likely, isn't it, that the form at the end of the season is going to correlate against the strength of your opposition.
Yeah.
That's,
and we've seen tons of examples of that, haven't we? Where we've looked at it and we've gone, look, maybe we put our money on them, and then the next thing that happens is they crash back down. It's as if somebody's sort of pulling our strings. But the truth is, we are reading into a situation something that we doesn't deserve to be read into it.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to recognise a pattern. Human beings are pattern recognition animals, or machines, even really. We like to see a pattern. Because it makes us, for all sorts of reasons, but, there's security in thinking that you understand a situation. So you're looking at something, trying to derive a pattern from it. And that helps you 95% of the time. But sometimes it's encouraging you to read into it something that's not really there.
It's a potential blind spot, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another potential blind spot is saying, that teams have an easier schedule because they're playing teams with nothing to play for.
Yes.
So now we're getting to the point where there are teams. So from Millwall down to Rotherham, maybe not even Rotherham, because you could say that maybe they're playing for pride. So we'll put Rotherham in there. So Millwall, so 16th down to 24th, have, in inverted commas, got something to play for.
Yes.
And then you could say from Cardiff up, have potentially got something to play for as well. So that would leave, if that was to be true, at the moment we've only got Sunderland, Watford and Bristol City. Yeah, Sunderland, Watford, Bristol City and Swansea with nothing to play for. So are they better teams to be playing against? Are we going to find that their results, they have some surprise results against them from lower teams?
Mm.
And the higher teams get a relatively easier result against them. That might be a thing that's quite interesting to look at. Does form correlate to playing teams with something to play for or nothing to play for?
Well, funnily enough, I was looking at exactly the same thing earlier, and I picked out exactly those from the 24. There's 20 teams, arguably, with Rotherham, that have got something to play for.
Mm.
And as you say, four that don't. And yeah, I think it would be interesting because I've never, well, not saying never, more in more recent years, I've learned to be wary of that mm-hmm. sort of suggestion that, they'll be a bit easier because they'll be on the beach. But so often it doesn't work out that way, does it?
That's it, because it could.
It seems easy, not to.
Yeah, it That's could very point. Easily have a different mentality, couldn't it? Because someone might go in and go, I'm not going to bother. Or it might be, I'm not playing that player. I'm going to play this one. And that player's really got something to prove, either for next season or they're going to be released at the end of the season, need to get a new contract. So therefore they're Absolutely. Going to put everything into it.
Yeah.
So it could very easily work both ways, but it would be interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on those four teams' results and just see if there are some results that you sort of think, that's a bit of a surprise, and I wasn't necessarily expecting that, or whether their form sort of falls off a cliff a bit.
You can start on Friday because they're obviously all involved, and on Monday, can't you? Because we've got some real mouth-watering
some big ones fixtures, coming up, haven't
we? So, mostly both teams have got something that they need to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So that always makes for a dramatic encounter, doesn't it?
Yeah,
for sure. And we'll know a lot more. QPR v Birmingham, for example,
that's a massive one, isn't it?
That's going to be a real dogfight.
Yeah, and there'll be a test of our theory, Sheffield Wednesday at home to Swansea.
There will.
So a team with a lot to play for against a team with nothing to play
Arguably
for.
Arguably nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're right. It's
Just seeing if there's another one. Norwich, Plymouth will be a big one.
Yeah.
Preston playing against Rotherham. Rotherham, you could say, you know, they've got pride to play for, but have they got much to play for?
Millwall, West Brom, of course. That'll be tough.
Yeah, Millwall, West Brom, that'll be a tough game for both. Yeah, because Millwall, if they can get one or two wins,
yeah,
they'd fancy that they're safe, wouldn't they?
You would, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, and their home games will be massive for them.
Yeah.
And Cardiff, Sunderland, if Cardiff don't win that, we could be putting them into the category of nothing to play for, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, and on it goes, because you've got, I think there's at the end of...
There's a lot of top versus bottom teams, aren't there?
Yeah.
Now, you've got Millwall, West Brom. You've got you've got Huddersfield, Coventry. You've got Hull against Stoke. You've got Norwich against Plymouth. Preston against Rotherham. There's a lot there of teams, and the survival instinct is a strong one, the strongest instinct in the human psyche. So will we see those lower teams overcoming their sort of stress and the difficulty of being down there and overcoming the teams that maybe are looking to not lose a position rather than win and come out of relegation?
You can think, whenever you come up with a sort of a hypothesis like this, you can always look at the opposite, can't you? And think of a reason, which I suppose is just more of an evidence that that's what we are. We try to see relationships. We try to see causes and effects.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they're not there, but a real weekend to savor, I think, for any Championship fan.
Yeah, it's going to be some massive games, and things will look a bit different.
Yeah, lots will change.
Every two game sort of mini series, I suppose, is gonna completely change the landscape of the league table, isn't it? With it being so close at the top and the bottom.
It is, yeah.
Which is why we love it.
It is why we love it. Yeah, it's all coming together then.
Absolutely. So really, we've to summarise, momentum is kind of bollocks, really, isn't it?
you could put it that way. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, and there's a number of them in football, aren't there, that we think has some merit, but when you start to look into them a bit more, I wonder. And we've talked about maybe trying to pick on some others, try and sort of see whether we can either establish them or explode them, really.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think this one, yeah, as often as you've seen it happen, most of the time it tends not to be provable.
It would be interesting to see if, I mean, it's never one thing, is it? Anything in life is very rarely ever one thing that causes or helps or hinders. So it's whether over time of looking at all this stuff, we'll actually find maybe there's two or three or four variables that we put together and say, well, these are the best measures of success for a team. You know, this is what we're looking for going into the tail end of the season, or this is the thing that once we've seen this after 10 games, this is a really good indicator of how a team's going to finish. And of course that will just come with time and looking over stuff, but it'll be really interesting. I mean, I like it when we find stuff that is disproven as much as when we find stuff that could be proven, because that's what it's about, isn't it? You know, you want to find the stuff that is bias and a thing that maybe is a blind spot, and the stuff that, there is actually something to it. But I would hope that the people who are listening to this, when someone sat next to them at a game at the weekend, if your team wins or loses or whatever, say, that's great, that gives us the momentum, you can just turn around and say, actually, that's a load of bollocks.
Yeah, listen to this.
You should listen to the fantastic David Bromley.
No, that's fun.
That's fun. Fantastic, mate. Well, I really enjoyed that. Found that really interesting. I hope the listeners did as well. I'm sure they did. Thanks for all your hard work as always, mate.
No problem.
Obviously, you can find us here on the podcast, but you can also find us on YouTube as well. Have a look for Attacking the Championship YouTube channel. We've got the links into the description if you want to click on those and have a look. We put the charts up as we talk through, so you can follow them on there if you prefer. But thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week for episode 33 of Attacking the Championship. See you soon. Bye-bye.